Welcome on in. It is a good Monday. Back at it. Another week. A lot going on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Clark Judge will be on today's show from Talk of Fame, longtime NFL insider. Man, oh man, what an NFL Sunday it was. Just like stuff you just thought at the beginning of the season. I knew that the Ravens were going to have one win and the Chiefs were going to have one win. We all knew that. We all knew that Seattle was going to lose at home to Carolina. Sure we did. So I'm going to talk on some of the national stuff. And then Paula Bovin will join us, News and Notes, AZ Central columnist. Paula put a tweet out about how she was disappointed in some of her readers yesterday because they were being vulgar and all that stuff. And it kind of ties in, not kind of, it does tie into what happened at Michigan and Michigan State over the weekend. I've always been of the opinion if they boo you, it's the ultimate sign of respect. So boos to me are nothing. They're nothing. You can boo all you want. Kobe Bryant is the greatest villain in the world, and he gets booed all the time, and he's the best at what he does. So, you know, hate mail, all that stuff. It's part of the deal. So let it roll. So we'll talk with Paula about the Utah. I didn't think Utah was all that great. And ASU obviously is one of the biggest disappointments on the national stage this season. We're going to get into them as the show moves on today. But I think starting with the Cardinals is where we need to go first and foremost. Because, look, here's the thing. They've beaten teams that aren't good, and they've lost to two teams that are good. And I don't know if it's the focus of the team, because here's what I'm seeing when they're out on the field. I'm seeing an awful lot of woofing and an awful lot of I'm the greatest and an awful lot of swag, and then I'm seeing breakdowns. I'm not good with that. I'm not good with teams, especially on defense. I'm not good with teams that talk and have attitude and then have blown coverages and blown assignments. I'm just not okay with that. And I don't think you should be either. And I don't think the Cardinals are okay with it. It's very fair today to sit here and ask if they are pretenders or contenders. It is very fair. And if you don't do that, you're not being true to this stuff. I mean, if all you're going to be is a shill and get a paycheck, then that's fine. That's your business model. But if you're not going to sit here and look at how they dominated the stat sheet and they let a third string quarterback beat them yesterday, that's all that was. That was a third string quarterback. And the quarterback the Cardinals had yesterday wasn't very good. No other way to put it. It's not overreaction Monday. They won these types of games last year. If you were to go back and look at how the Cardinals played last season, they won these kind of games. They didn't do it. Didn't do it yesterday. It was embarrassing to see Landry Jones against a defense that's supposed to be really good. You know, I didn't see Dwight Freeney do much of anything. Eric, did you see Dwight Freeney yesterday other than...
I remember they mentioned that he was in the game a couple times.
They showed one replay of him.
I think Tom Brenneman made mention that Dwight Freeney's in there and Aikman said something and then you didn't really hear
that was
much.
It.
Yeah, he was just a guy out there.
Just a dude.
But in fairness to him, let's let him get his sea legs a little bit and see what happens.
Look, but his contract is loaded with incentives
exactly.
To do one thing. And if you have a third string quarterback out there who's not Michael Vick and running the football, and you let him get to Martavis Bryant late in the game for that kind of score, that's a game they just gave away. If you look at the two games that they've lost so far, they've lost to teams that are willing to be just as physical as they are. Okay, I saw the Steelers punching him right back in the mouth yesterday. And the Rams are one of the most physical teams in the game. But for the Cardinals to go and lose the way they lost yesterday at Pittsburgh, it's an embarrassment. They should have won that game hand over fist, right ways, left ways, sideways, upside down. Doesn't matter. Should have won the game easily. You know, they got away from the running game. I don't know. Did Carson Palmer check out of plays? Did Carson Palmer audible out of run plays? I don't know that. But as I'm watching the game yesterday, it's like, so Andre Ellington looked pretty good in the first quarter, and I have not seen him again. And Chris Johnson doesn't look like the same guy that was averaging 5 yards per carry. And yeah, part of that's the Steeler defense, but the other part of it is the identity of the team. I get it. If John Brown's going to be so wide open, Carson Palmer's in a run play and he checks out of it, it's fine. It's Carson Palmer. But you know, they come home now to a team that, again, they should beat in the Ravens, but I don't know that. I don't know if the Ravens are going to try to be just as physical as the Steelers were or just as physical as the Rams were. maybe the NFC West is going to be an 8-8 winner or 9-7 winner. It just may be that type of season. Maybe the 49ers are figuring it out after their showing yesterday. I mean, Seattle losing home to Carolina, that just shouldn't happen. Should not happen. But it did. And the division we thought was going to be full of teams that are really, really strong. And instead, it's teams that, so we're sitting here in the middle of October. Maybe it's just a bunch of average teams at this point. All the unbeatens that are out there, though, the Bengals are 6-0. Who would have thought that? The Broncos, actually CBS forced me to watch the end of the Broncos game yesterday against Cleveland. Peyton Manning looks so dang old when he's playing. And he's still, in my opinion, he's a game manager, but for fans to boo Peyton Manning at this point, are you drunk? Probably so. The Packers, I don't think the Packers are all that great. The Chargers had a chance yesterday. They're undefeated. The Panthers, well, the Panthers winning at Seattle, that's very impressive. I don't think their division is all that great. And I don't know, Chuck Pagano's going to get fired in Indianapolis when it's all said and done. Andrew Luck has never beaten New England now. We'll talk with Clark Judge in a couple of minutes about all this. Tonight's the Monday night game, the Giants and the Eagles. The big thing about tonight, and Jared Nielsen, if you've got it, hey, Jared, if you've got Star Wars, fire it up, because here's the thing. Tonight's Monday night football game will go down, I'm predicting, as one of, if not the highest rated Monday night football game ever. Because tonight at halftime of the Monday night game, they're unveiling the new Star Wars trailer.
To quote your guy, Michael Fabiano, just tweeted out 10 minutes ago. So how many people who care nothing about football will be watching the game tonight to catch the new Star Wars trailer?
That's so true. Jared Nielsen, you're going to watch, right? You're into Star Wars? Yeah, of course. Who cares about Giants Eagles? Eric, if we were to go through our building here at our palatial estate with the moat and the alligators around it and the drawbridge here at Skyview, I'm sure most people just don't give a rat's ass about the game tonight. But if you tell them, you know the Star Wars trailer is going to be on? Like, Dancing with the Stars is going to get crushed tonight.
Isn't it just me, or are the Giants been on primetime a lot this year? It seems like on Monday or Sunday or Thursday, they're just always on.
It's New York.
Yeah, it is.
It's New York. I just don't care. I don't like watching teams from the NFC East unless they're beating the Cowboys. And many of them are this year. You know, I just don't care. But they're going to slam it down our throats tonight. But of course tonight I'm going to watch the Star Wars trailer. I'm a movie guy. Why not? So that's going on tonight. Now, on the college football scene, let me just, before I just unload on ASU, because in I'm not going to be in the popular column on this. Not that I aim to be by doing this show every day, but it's not Mike Norvell's fault, top to bottom. If you're one of those that just believes that firing the offensive coordinator is the reason it will solve all the ills of Arizona State, when I'm watching them play, I don't believe that Mike Bercovici is the exact right fit for this offense. He's not the runner that Taylor Kelly was. He's just not. But add to that, I'm watching their game on Saturday night, and we're going to talk about it on the TV show tonight and have all sorts of video on it. The drop passes and the undisciplined play, and yeah, the play calling's part of it. I watched U of A at Colorado Saturday night, and actually, Randall and Solomon together at quarterback, I get it, it's Colorado, but it's still on the road. Utah's not that good. In fact, I think Vegas is in agreement with me. USC is a 3-point home favorite over Utah this Saturday. And if we're going through the teams in the Pac-12 South, top to bottom from a talent standpoint, I still believe USC is the best team, top to bottom, from a just pure skill talent standpoint. Now, their coaching staff was a disaster with Sarkisian. I watched their game the other night against Notre Dame. I thought they played hard. Didn't play as well as they needed to, but Notre Dame's good this year. There were some other games. If I would have told you, and we have the national title game here this year in college football. The national title game will be in January. The American Athletic Conference has three teams in the top 25 this year, this week. Three. And if I would have told you that Memphis and Temple and Houston are all going to be in the mix to play out here. Now, I understand that their strength of schedule. I understand that nationally people are going to say there's not a chance that I would put Memphis, but Memphis is 6-0. They beat Ole Miss. So there is some uncertainty. There is some craziness attached to college football and where we are right now. Temple is ranked in the top 25. The Owls next week have Notre Dame at Temple. If Temple's able to beat Notre Dame, you talk about just throwing everything up in the air. And then we have the end of the Michigan State-Michigan game. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show, too. So, baseball playoffs, I watched some of the Mets last night. Man, the Cubs just may be a year away. They're very young. I heard some good theories about how that Solar and some of the younger players from the Dominican have never, ever played baseball in cold weather. This is their first time being up here. And when it's 38 degrees and you're trying to play, that maybe that's a problem. It sounds like a cop-out to some people, but they're a young team. I love what the Cubs have done. They're built to last. And if David Price decides he wants to go be reunited with Joe Maddon, and Jordan Zimmermann decides he wants to get out of Washington and go to the Cubs are sitting up in a really good position. And it's because of their manager. And Toronto, Kansas City is tonight. On the other side, we'll have Clark Judge with us. Talk of Fame host, longtime NFL insider. We'll go around the NFC West, around the NFL, and also the Cardinals, too, from Clark Judge's view, then Paula Bova News and Notes in about 15 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, Clark Judge is going to join us here in a couple of moments. TalkOfFameNetwork.com, Talk of Fame host, longtime NFL insider. We'll talk about where the Cardinals are and also some of the national stuff, too. You know, on a national front, what's really interesting to me is how the NFL has been able to achieve what they've... some years, there's not parity. Some years, you look at teams and they're just top to bottom. They just go right through it. This year, you look at the Bengals at 6-0, the Broncos at 6-0, the Packers at 6-0, the Panthers at 5-0, the Patriots at 5-0. There are no teams, even though Detroit just stinks out loud, as we saw last week with the Cardinals, there are no teams that haven't won a game. So the NFL, whether some of these teams are any good or not, there's teams that I think from an NFL's view would have to be really disappointing. The Ravens and Chiefs would be, if I told you at the start of the year, Baltimore and Kansas City, if I had said that those two teams would combine to have two wins 6 weeks into the season, you would have said you've absolutely snorted some glue or something. There's just no way. But that's where we are right now in the NFL. And well, Clark joins us now, TalkOfFameNetwork.com, Talk of Fame host. Chuck Pagano's going to get fired, right? He's a dead man walking this season.
Yep. I don't think he'd be. I don't know that he's going to be fired, you know, this season or today or tomorrow. He's not. This will be his last year there. He knows it. So does everyone else. There's friction between him and the GM, Ryan Grigson, and Chuck didn't sign an extension. So until or unless he takes that team to the Super Bowl, which ain't going to happen, he's going to be looking for a job elsewhere next year.
What can you say about Andrew Luck's career? He hasn't beaten New England. We all love watching him play, but has he regressed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the answer is yes to a degree. You know, he's hurt now, so it's tough to get a read on him. I thought he looked better yesterday than he had for much of this season. I don't know how long he was playing with that shoulder injury, so it's difficult to make an assessment there. I certainly watched him in college. He used to live in Palo Alto. I think this guy is a tremendous talent, but he's full of so much promise, and that promise should yield something more by now. And I think we all looked at this year and said, this is the year he takes that huge step forward. And unfortunately, he has regressed. Now, does that mean his career's regressed? No, but this year... He's simply not the same quarterback he was a year ago. When he threw, honestly, Brad, he threw a few too many interceptions last year for my liking, but he also threw a zillion touchdown passes, and he got them to the championship game. We looked at Indianapolis and said, they're going to the Super Bowl. They're a team we think could be going to the Super Bowl. I look at that team this year, and I said, there's a team I definitely don't think is going to the Super Bowl. He's one of the reasons. Certainly, there are others, such as they've had trouble with the offensive line. The defense isn't as good as it has been, or could be, or we thought it could be. But the old guys they signed hadn't produced. Frank Gore now is, but what's Andre Johnson? What's he doing?
I mean, right.
It's just not a particularly great team. Could it be good by the end of the year? Yeah, but I don't think it's a Super Bowl team. And Andrew Luck's one of the reasons. He's got to get better.
Well, and also the division that they're in through the years has not been very good, from my view. And
well, it stinks. I mean, let's
yeah.
just face
and
it.
So,
I mean,
so the record, know. The record may, the record is not a real true indicator, perhaps, potentially, of how good or bad the team has been.
That's right. Listen, you could win that division, I think, with a 9-7 record, 10-6, 9-7, and the Colts are going to be the team that wins it because you look at that landscape and say, who's going to beat them? I mean, you know, Houston's down. There's no one there of any consequence. But once they get out of that situation, where do they go? And I saw a pretty interesting stat on Pagano and the Colts today. I think Chuck Pagano's 19-2. Is that right, against that division? And 19-19 against everyone else? That tells you something.
Of the teams that are unbeaten, okay, Bengals, Broncos, Packers, yep. Panthers, Patriots, who do you not believe in? Who's a pretender?
Denver.
Really?
Because I don't know how long that defense can carry them. And they have put that team on their shoulders and carried it. Now, I mean, Peyton Manning, you talk about regressing. He's a 39 quarterback who looks like he's a 49-year-old quarterback. He can't get the ball down the field anymore. He's throwing interceptions he never did before. It's tough to watch. But that said, you know, all these people, had someone asked me, would they ever make a change there? Wait a minute, you're undefeated. It's Peyton Manning. You're not right. going to sit him down. For Brock Osweiler, no way. You're going to stay with him. But I would ask you this. I mean, they can't run the ball. Offensive line was better, but it hasn't been very good. And the quarterback can't get the ball down the field. Everything's underneath. How far do you think you're really going to go there, Brad? And Peyton Manning, if he looks like this in October, 39-year-old quarterback, what's he going to look like in December and January? And old legs tire quickly. I just think it's going to be tough going down the stretch with them. They're going to win that division because, again, the rest of the division got combined five wins. They have fewer wins than Denver. So that division stinks with the exception of the Denver Broncos. But I don't believe in them. I think when they face a team of consequence, which they will shortly, they're going to lose.
It's hard for me to look at Andy Dalton and say, I'm going to see a completely different Andy Dalton in January. However, I've read and heard that he's a completely different guy this year, that he actually interacts with his teammates and his teammates actually like him. They're sitting there at 6-0. Do you think that Cincinnati is going to finally break through?
Do I think they are? Yeah, I do.
Really?
But I'm skeptical and I'm jaundiced because of what you said. You know, you say seeing is believing. Not here. Seeing it, yeah, he looks good now. What about January? I mean, like you said, what do we know about this? What do we know about the Bengals? What we know is they get to the playoffs under Marvin Lewis. They get to the playoffs under Andy Dalton, and they can't win. He's 0-4. Lewis is 0-6. We know about Dalton. One touchdown pass in four playoff games. Six interceptions. That's not real good. So clearly, that's got to be in his head. Now, you can say it's not, and people can say, oh, yeah, he could tell us it's not a big deal, and Marvin can say it's not a big deal. Trust me, it is, because they've heard it, they've read about it, they know about it. And come January, when they have to play a playoff game, they're going to know, I've got to overcome this hurdle. Once they do that, then you can start talking about them as a legitimate Super Bowl threat. But until then, no. But do I think they'll win a playoff game? Eventually they got to, right? I just think they have to. And again, I look at that landscape and you say, let's just say they face a wild card team. Could they win? Yeah. Could they? Because they'd be at home. Should they? Absolutely they should. But, you know, I'm probably 60-40 in this. I don't trust them. Let me just put it that way.
Let's talk a little further about the Cardinals now with Clark Judge, TalkOfFameNetwork.com, Talk of Fame host, longtime NFL insider, one of the leading voices nationally, along with Ron Borges every week, and Rick Gosling from the Dallas Morning News. Clark leads the way. Terrific show. What is your view of the Cardinals from out here? I don't know if they're a pretender or a contender after losing to Pittsburgh and St. Louis and beating four teams that aren't any good at all. Your view of the Cardinals?
Yeah, I like them because of Bruce Arians, because Carson Palmer's the quarterback. I like them. I'm not in love with them. That game yesterday hurt. I really liked them before then. I think going to Pittsburgh and playing Michael Vick, you should be able to win that ball game. And they couldn't put him away, and they let him hang around. And then lo and behold, here comes a third-string quarterback off the bench. Honestly, who I liked in college. I really loved Jarvis Landry in college. But Landry Jones in college.
You got it.
And I like them both in college. Jarvis Landry, Landry Jones, I like them both. But I love this kid, and yet he languished on the bench. And, you know, it's funny, he gets in there, he looked like Burt Jones. I mean, it's funny how those opportunities kind of arise and then someone takes advantage. But Arizona's got a head coach you got to believe in. Because of what he did last year, because of what he did in Indianapolis, to me, he almost does more with less than anyone out there. And the fact that Carson Palmer's there and you've got that defense is playing pretty well, you have games like that yesterday. You have games like that where you stub your toe. I just wish they could have been more productive against a defense that I think is getting better. It's not a great defense, but it's young. It's getting better. I thought they had a chance, and they didn't. So in that division, again, in that division, who do you like? Seattle? No. I mean, San Francisco? Come on. St. Louis? They're still too far away. I think it's Arizona's. In the big picture, how do I see them? Well, it's Green Bay, and it's Carolina right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought Arizona was the second-best team in the NFC before yesterday. Now I look at it, and I go, okay, Carolina really showed me something going to Seattle and winning there. So those are the teams you got to go after. Can you beat them? I don't think so, not right now.
The thing is, Clark, in their two losses, they're 2 of 9 in the red zone against the Steelers and Rams. They've had 6 turnovers against the Steelers and Rams. I don't want to stat you to death on this.
Yeah, right.
But when you look at the teams that they've knocked off, they're just really bad football teams. So I guess I see where you're coming from, but I'm still skeptical about Pretender to a certain extent because, you know, as the season progresses, they've finished with Seattle. They've got Green Bay late. Now, Green Bay may be resting players by the time we get towards the end of December, getting ready for the playoffs. But I think their schedule, to me, looks backloaded, and the two good teams they played so far have been more physical than I think the Cardinals were anticipating.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't get too caught up in that, Brad, only because you don't have to apologize for those teams. You simply have to beat them, and you beat them. So someone can say, well, this team won one game. I don't care. You have to beat them because those teams eventually can win ball games. We see that every week. So with Detroit yesterday. I mean, Detroit beat Chicago.
Yep.
And Chicago's not a great team, but still, Detroit won a ball game, okay? How about the New Orleans-Atlanta game? You know, what does that tell us about Atlanta? I know they have games like that. New Orleans is a tough opponent, but New Orleans is down. They're not very good this year, yet they won that game. So now do we start reassessing Atlanta? No, I think Atlanta's pretty good. And now they're the second-best team in that division, where I thought, honestly, they were the better team than Carolina. But they're a team that's improved, and I think a team that's going to make the playoffs. But that happens. You don't have to apologize for those. Simply win them, and they've won those. But you're right. I would like to see them take care of a quality opponent, and that's going to happen. I just firmly believe he's got the right formula for success. He wins at home. He wins with that quarterback. They were really good on the road until yesterday. Okay, let's just see where it goes from here.
They have Baltimore next Monday night, national broadcast, mm-hmm. obviously. Do you have a thought on that game a week ahead?
Yeah. Yeah. Where's the game? Is it in Baltimore?
It's here.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference where it is. Baltimore's not very good. and the Ravens, unfortunately, I mean, listen, I covered that team, and I've been around Baltimore for a long time. It's really tough to watch that team going downhill. Again, I saw a pretty interesting note today. They've, ever since winning the Super Bowl, they're a 500 team. They've won as many games as they've lost. But this year without Suggs, they're a different defensive team. They're not very good. They put Sharice Wright in there yesterday because Webb was down, and 49ers went after him and burned him again and again and again. There are holes everywhere. Flacco's not playing particularly well. They're having trouble getting some quality runs. I know Forsett's got a lot of yardage, but when they're down inside the five, it's tough for them to get some yardage. Flacco's turning the ball over. He doesn't have playmakers on the outside. In essence, it's a very, very difficult and bleak situation in Baltimore. That team now has lost a lot of games. They're 1-5. They've never done that under John Harbaugh. And we keep saying, well, they've never been 1-3. Well, they've never been 1-4. Okay, now they've never been 1-5. They just keep losing ball games. And I know people, I've talked to them all the time in Baltimore, they're really discouraged by what they say this year. So, yeah, the Ravens will not win that game. The Cardinals will.
Appreciate your time and your insight as always. Thanks for jumping on board with us.
Thanks, Brad.
Clark Judge there. Clark, of course, TalkOfFameNetwork.com, Talk of Fame host, longtime NFL insider. Good stuff there from Clark Judge on a national view of what's going on here in Arizona. All right, Paula Bovin is next. So she was at ASU at Utah. Is it time to start looking closer at Mike Norvell as many the offensive coordinator at ASU, also a quarterback? The hate and angst directed and just venom directed towards the punter at Michigan to the point where the athletic director has got to step in and say, death threats, I mean, come on, you guys are kidding me. We'll talk to Paul about that and much more. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, Paula Bovin joins us now. News and notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Are you watching Monday Night Football tonight for halftime of the Star Wars trailer? Do you know people that are going to watch the game tonight that don't care about football, that don't like football, that actually hate football? And are you going to be watching this tonight? It's a cultural event.
I tend not to mingle with those type of people, Brad, right. Let me tell you. No, I will watch football, not for that reason. You're talking to the person who gets Star Wars and Star Trek messed up. So it's not happening for me in that regard. Sorry.
It's a cultural event tonight. So
it is.
That's what they're trying to make Monday Night Football to be.
It's all over social media. It's crazy.
I know. All right, so the Cardinals yesterday, I go back to pretender or contender because I think it's very fair. They've lost to two teams that were physical, that punched them in the mouth, and they've beaten teams that aren't very good. It seems to me that when I watch the Cardinals play, there's an awful lot of woofing and talking and strutting, and then there's a blown play. I don't like those teams. I don't like, especially on a defense. I don't need attitude and then giving up plays to Martavis Bryant with a third string quarterback for a score. Do you know where I'm coming from here?
Yeah, it's although I'll say I just think that's the NFL. I don't think that's just the Cardinals. I mean, save maybe like an Andrew Luck or somebody. That's just what teams do now, you know? I mean, that's what people are calling fun. You know, don't take the fun out of pro sports, and people like the celebrations and just even the simple reactions after a big hit. I think fans have a right to be concerned about the Cardinals right now. I wouldn't write them off by any stretch. No. There's a lot of talent there, but you know why they're not winning the close games they used to win. I think the pass rush is a real concern, and I know that Arians sort of talks a lot that it's not. But you know, when you make a guy who's, I think that was his first NFL pass, right, look like a superstar, there's something wrong. So.
Dwight Freeney was brought in to rush the passer and get big numbers, and I didn't see much of Dwight Freeney yesterday. Now I understand he just came in this week. I get it. I'm not sitting here piling on him. But it's evident to me that Steve Keim wasn't happy with the pass rush, so they bring him in. They let Landry Jones stand around back there. They're 2 of 9 in the red zone against the Steelers and Rams. They're -6, or they have 6 turnovers against the Steelers and Rams. There's a trend here, and Carson hasn't been good in the two games against good teams.
He hasn't been good at moments. You know what I mean? I don't think he's been bad, and he's been very good. But there, you know, but you're right. I mean, there has been the untimely interception and some decision making and things like that. But you know, I don't think he's a problem. I think there are other problems. And then when you look at their schedule, it has to be a little bit nervous if you're a Cardinals fan of sort of what's ahead. I know they have the Ravens this week, but how about after that? So I just think they need a very, very convincing victory on Monday to kind of get back in the groove.
Well, I'm not suggesting Carson is the problem here, but
right.
It's also, I think, if you don't question top to bottom every last bit, is he audibling out of plays that are run plays into pass plays because John Brown, they couldn't cover him, but then there were other plays that just weren't good yesterday that came out of Carson. So I'm not suggesting that he is the problem, but anybody who says that everything is all well and good, outside of Calais Campbell every week, I haven't seen a consistent player.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's been a problem. And then, you know, add to that, I think, some really untimely penalties. And they're granted, there were a couple questionable ones, especially when they involved Michael Floyd yesterday. But there were just some really dumb ones. And that's not how you succeed in this league, especially with close games. And I think the disheartening part was just how they looked at the beginning of the game and how the Cardinals looked in the first half and how it just got away from them, you know.
It should have been a 30-0 game, so
yeah,
in my
yeah,
view.
Absolutely.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Utah's not that good, in my view. USC is a 3-point favorite for the game,
right,
at USC. Get Utah out of Salt Lake City, other than the Oregon game. Okay, I'll give them that. And they did beat Michigan first week of the year. But now you've seen Utah up close and in person. Are they one of the top 4 teams in the country?
I mean, I think they've earned the right to be. And right now that's all I can sort of measure teams from because, I mean, they're getting it done and they're not always looking at like the most dominant team. But they've got that sort of mojo. You know, they capitalize on mistakes and they don't have the best quarterback even in the league,
right,
but he's a veteran who doesn't buckle under pressure, you know, and so they're getting it done that way. And then their defense. And so I just think they have enough talent at sort of every position, and I think Whittingham's a really good coach. And I know a couple of years ago people were about ready to call for his job, but I don't think on. I think, you know, you mentioned SC. That's a great point, Brad, in that how SC's favored. There's more talent on that field with SC, but but Whittingham has found a way, I think, to really coach these guys up. So hey, they're 6-0 in a, you know, and hard to argue for them not being in the mix just because there's so many other oddities going on right now in college football.
I actually think USC is the best team in the South now that I've seen them all. I just think USC was flawed with their head coach and and that all fell apart. They played with Notre Dame. And you can't tell me that a team that loses its coach on a Monday and then has to go cross country to play on national television against Notre Dame, you're not going to have a little bit of it's not going to be as smooth as you should be. I think USC beats them this week. But beyond that, if we're looking now at Arizona State, and I saw just before you and I started the segment, you're getting asked the same questions I am about, is it time to put in Manny Wilkins? And I've gotten overrun with that. I've gotten overrun with replace Norvell in the play calling. I've gotten overrun with DJ Foster. Of all the questions, what is the one that you are most concerned with Arizona State?
Just questions about their team in general? Well, yeah, I mean, I still think it, well, and let me say this first, the whole Manny Wilkins thing, I don't think people understand that Todd Graham, even into the start of the season, was saying that was a position they're concerned about as far as the backup quarterback, because those guys just weren't getting ready as fast as he expected. And so people who say that Wilkins should go in sort of giving up on the season, not that Wilkins won't be great down the road, but they really felt concerned about him not being ready at this stage. And I think if you put him in, you're sort of giving up on the season. Now, maybe you put him in late in the game when they're winning big, you know, something like that. But they're not ready to give up on the season, and they still feel, and I agree with them, and that this may be hard for people to understand, but I still think Bercovici gives them the best chance to succeed. Now, the question is, my biggest concern as a fan would be, if I was a fan watching this team, is the offense in general. I mean, why does it seem so broken in some games? You know, there were receivers dropping passes. That was a problem. But some of the schemes, you know, I think people are scratching their heads a little bit. The whole question about DJ Foster, why isn't he more? That's a part of the offense. That's kind of mysterious. So just the offense as a whole being broken, I think, is the biggest concern.
Yeah, I guess I look at it a little differently. I think you can go all the way back even before the Bo Graham removal or him deciding to go chase a better job as it was put to us, which, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But you go back to the injuries at wide receiver in spring ball, and Tim White's come in. Tim White's done a nice job, but they have not been able to land the Mark Andrews and the Christian Kirks. That's a fact. And so when you or the Devin Allen up at Oregon, when you're not able to land the top wide receivers in your state and the cupboard's a little bare, it comes back to bite you in the backside. That's a fact that they're not able to close the deal as Todd wants them to. I think the bigger question, Paula, is you can't have it both ways. If you put Manny Wilkins in and you have the U of A game and there's now those fans that all they care about is, will the season be a success if we beat U of A? That's a month from now.
Right.
So if you pull Mike out, do you A, lose part of the team, senior leaders, after all the buildup from Todd? B, do you stunt growth? Are you willing to roll through a game that you may get punched in the mouth on? I mean, U of A's run offense against ASU right now, I know ASU's done a nice job against the run. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a good matchup for ASU. U of A is not a good matchup for ASU.
Right. No,
so,
I agree.
So if you pull the plug on Burko right now as we're sitting here, I think it's too early. I agree with you on that, but you cannot have it both ways. And if they lose their next three games, let's say they lose to Oregon and Washington State in Washington, and the season's really over. Do you go with Burko to give you the best chance to win, or are you willing to have a freshman go get his head kicked in potentially by U of A? It's a tough deal.
It is, and a lot obviously would hinge on what happens in the next three games, as you mentioned. And I don't think ASU is losing those games. Oregon is obviously going to – Oregon's going to be tough,
careful.
And now I'm looking at the schedule,
careful,
and they're
now
at Pullman. Yeah, that's a tough one, too. So, I don't know. I think people sort of overestimate what they think a young guy like Manny Wilkins can do. And when you've practiced this offense as much as Berkovici has, and while some of the mistakes have been his, a lot of them have not been his, and I still think he gives them the best chance to win.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and insight, as always.
All right, Brad.
There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, joins us every week. We're going to talk about the Michigan ending the other day. We've got actually had the play-by-play call. Is it Michigan's or is it Michigan State's, Eric? Which one? It's ESPN's. Okay. So I heard the Michigan State one, and it was very funny. And the Michigan one sounded like somebody ran over their dog. But I want to take it to a broader context about fandom and what's gone on here with this poor punter. And if you're going to give me the, well, he just has to toughen up and death threats are part of the deal, then I just don't buy that. That's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. So one of the things over the weekend that caught my eye that was on Saturday, and it was the end of the Michigan-Michigan State game, and the punter, Blake O'Neill, the Michigan punter who dropped the snap, and that allowed Michigan State to win as time expired. It was one of the craziest plays I've ever seen. I've had people send me notes, have you ever seen anything crazy or nuttier? And you try to think back through the years of sports, whether it's the Stanford band that's on the field, and you feel bad for the punter. He is an Australian. And this story has received international attention. The Sydney Morning Herald, blazing headline, Australian Blake O'Neill botches punt, Michigan loses. Death threats, angry tweets, strong support. Look, you're going to get criticized. That's part of the deal. But and we've got the video here. Just throw it up. Went with the play. Oh, here it is. Okay, let's roll this in.
Get it out. Well, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
That's a great call by Sean McDonough. So there it is, if you didn't see it. But this kid has gotten death threats, and lots of them. He modeled in Australia, joked to mgoblue.com in September that he was a, quote, little budding Zoolander. He graduated with a bachelor's degree in communication from RMIT University in Melbourne before coming to America. So he's an Australian rules guy, an Australian punter, and it may have impacted the play. He has a coach, a kicking coach. Okay, so these guys, kickers, all have their own coaches. My son was a kicker. He had a kicking coach. And his kicking coach said today, Nathan Chapman. Nathan Chapman is O'Neill's trainer from Pro Kick Australia in a phone interview. What he spoke about was, in a sense, he was glad it happened to him because he's mentally strong and he can handle it. Chapman believes O'Neill's instincts from Australian rules football caused him, upon dropping the ball, to try to pick it up and kick instead of just falling on the ball.
Makes total sense. Makes total sense.
Okay, and that's not an alibi. This is what he's grown up used to doing, okay? And improbable, unbelievable, there's no other way to describe it other than Michigan lost. And in the Big Ten, so Michigan State still has to play Ohio State. Michigan still has to play Ohio State. So it's not as though Michigan is out of the playoff yet, in my opinion, but not by a long ways. So there's still a lot of football, as they like to say, the cliche goes.
Especially if Utah keeps winning. That's what Michigan wants. Michigan wants Utah to keep winning.
So if Utah loses to USC, it hurts Michigan, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, they want Utah to lose somewhere, but they want like a 1 or 2 loss Utah. They don't want a 7-4 Utah.
So if Michigan State beats Ohio State, that's not good for Michigan.
No.
Michigan actually needs to cheer for Ohio State to beat Michigan State, and then Michigan has to beat Ohio State.
Yes.
Yes.
But the way it is, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? It's not like the Big Ten. Iowa... Brad, Iowa.
I know.
Did you see their schedule?
Yeah.
Iowa's sitting out there at 17. I think they play one team with a winning record over the last half of the season because they get into the lower tier of the Big Ten. And they're talking about, well, Iowa could sneak in. I mean, can you imagine that? If you're playing in one of the playoff semifinals and you have Iowa as one of the four teams.
Well, but that goes back to what I said in the opening segment about Memphis and Temple sitting here in Houston. They're all undefeated.
Memphis would kill Iowa. Memphis is a legit team. I've watched some of their games. They are a very good team. Iowa is just another Big Ten team.
What if Temple beats Notre Dame next week? And it's at Temple. And I know you and I are like, there's no way Temple, but they're sitting there unstinking defeated.
I haven't watched enough Temple games to really.
If you watch Temple games, you need to go on a date. You need a social life.
I watched like Saturday. I probably watched 15 to 20 different games.
That's fine.
It's interesting what you said about the Michigan kicker. I don't know if you saw Joe Tessitore, who does the college football scoreboard on Saturday. At the end, he does like a little 1 to 2 minute monologue, and he basically said the same thing. Like all these haters on Twitter that are going after him. Look at what this guy has done with his life already. I'm sure it's much more than you sitting there on your couch scratching and throwing up 140 characters about how this guy needs to be killed or whatever the death threats were or just what a loser he is. Because, I don't know, that's one of the problems with social media, but that's a whole other conversation. Like, everyone has a platform.
Yeah. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.